Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And as usual, with the help you get from ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, we'll keep it running for you. In fact, Dan is here this morning. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Have a good week since we spoke last.
I did have a good week.
Good, yeah. Busy week.
Yeah, busy week. And
that's good.
And the weather cooperated and made it comfortable working. Not much else to do, so you might as well work.
Might as well do it. Absolutely. Well, if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Dan Burns has been helping our CCO listeners out for many years, 25, we figure, and counting. And if you have any kind of a car care question before you bring it into your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, you want to find out what the heck's going on, and you can tell that service writer, here's what Dan said. I think it might be this. 651-989-9226 is the phone number. We have callers already, but there is a line open if you want to fill it. 651-989-9226, or do what some folks are already doing. Send Dan your text message. That number is 81807. 81807. You know, I want to ask you a question about picking up vehicles for college kids or maybe returning home. But Ed in Roseville has been waiting. Let's help Ed out right away. Good morning, Ed. Thanks for hanging on.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a particular problem with a 98 Chevy K2500. It's got a 5.7 liter, 4x4, and 276,000 miles. The problem was the first turn of the key in the morning is fine, and it fires over. But the any subsequent starts, you have to pump the pedal to get the truck to run. So I started with checking the fuel pressure, and the pump was low. So I replaced the pump and then the filter, and we still had the problem. So I went next to the fuel regulator, and that's on the spider control inside the air manifold. So in short, I replaced the whole spider unit. And then we still had the problem, so I went through all the sensors, cleaned the mass airflow sensor and the temp sensor, and then I replaced the idle air. So the problem persists. So with all of that replaced and the sensors all clean and the idle air done, I had someone press on the accelerator cable while I turned the key, and there was no response until I touched the pedal. So it seems, again, it's the cold start is fine, but any subsequent start, you have to depress the pedal or it'll just crank.
All right, let's get Dan's review of this.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's flooding when on the after the first start in the morning, that too much fuel is getting in there, because when you put your foot on the accelerator pedal, what you're really doing is letting more air in. So first thing I would want to do is confirm that. If you add air to the mixture and it starts right up, then you know that it's got too much fuel. And then the next question is, where is it getting too much fuel from? And you've gone through the fuel injection system, and I can't think offhand anywhere else. That's an older vehicle that I can't remember a lot about,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Sure.
But it seems like somewhere it's getting fuel introduced to it on the second and third and fourth starts of the day. And but what we would do if it was at our shop is we would put a bunch of test equipment on for that second start. We would put a fuel pressure gauge on it. One thing I would check and see is it maintaining fuel pressure? Is the pressure staying up like it's supposed to, or is it bleeding off? And if it's bleeding off, where is it bleeding off to? We'd have to find that. And then we put a spark indicator and a whole bunch of tools on it. Go and start the vehicle and see what's missing. And obviously something's missing. One of the main ingredients, fuel or spark or timing or compression, something's missing on that second start, and we'd have to find out what that is. But I suspect that we have too much fuel, and you just have to figure out where that's coming from.
And Ed sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
It does sound like it.
But yeah. Ed is also in Roseville, and he's not that far from Lloyd's if he wants some professional help.
Sure.
So there you go, Ed. Thanks for the call. I tell you what, Rich in Anoka is next here on CCO. Rich, you're on with Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
I got a little problem. I've had a 2002 Mustang GT for probably, 8 years, and we store it during the winter. And last winter, we went to start it up, and there was something caught with the anti-theft, and we couldn't get it to go. It turns over, but it seems like it's not getting gas. Well, then we tried the other key, and all of a sudden, it worked. Well, we've been online. We looked at YouTube. You let it sit for 10 minutes. Turn the ignition on, let it sit for 10 minutes, then turn it on, lock the doors, unlock the doors. Man, but this year, we can't get the dang thing going. Any ideas?
Well, and you think it's acting the same, like it's a theft deterrent problem?
Well, that's what we're guessing. I mean, the same thing happened. We stored it for, 8, 9 years, and the first 6 or 7, never had a problem. The guy disconnects the battery, and then we reconnect the battery, and I said all of a sudden last year it wouldn't start. It turns over, it seems like it wants to go, it just doesn't seem like it's getting any gas. And then we kind of Googled it, YouTubed it, and they make it sound like it's the anti-theft. Well, after a little bit of time last year, just, 15, 20 minutes of trying a couple things, we tried the other key, and all of a sudden it, fired up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this year,
yeah,
I can't get her going. I don't know what's going on. I stuck in my garage now. We had to push it up the hill and park it in the garage.
Yeah. Well, I would start with the same advice I gave the last caller is, let's do some testing and see what's missing. Are we missing spark? Are we missing fuel injector pulse? Are we missing fuel pressure? And then I would do a little bit of research and find out with the theft deterrent, what does that choose to turn off? It might turn off fuel, might turn off spark, might turn off all of it. I'm not sure, but I would check that out. And then with our diagnostic equipment that we have on a vehicle, relatively new, an 02, that has computer technology. So we can get into the theft deterrent system and see what's going on and see if it is recognizing the keys. And so if you want to do some of the testing on yourself to see what's missing and then do some more Google search and see what's if that's related to the theft deterrent, that's a good idea. And if it turns out to be that it is accurately the theft deterrent system, there is, lock key guys, the lock companies nowadays, the automotive-related lock companies can come out and reprogram that stuff for you. So it would save you a tow and so forth if you want to go right at your house. So
that's a good idea.
That might be, if it turns out to be the theft deterrent, maybe checking that out would be a good idea too.
Very good, Rich. Thanks for the call. Dan, we need to take a quick break here. Keep in mind, I should remind our listeners that Dan will be here till just about 7:45. So don't wait. If you have a car care question, call it in or text it in, and Dan will help you out. And good morning to you. 7:25 Central Time. We're in the midst of our car care show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Grand old day. It was on. It was off. It was on. Now it's on.
We're on.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
But where's Lloyd's located in reference?
Right there. Right there where Grand Old Day is going to be. So, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria, right in the heart of Grand Old Day. And, while Grand Old Day doesn't do much for me, it's a good part of the Grand Avenue brand. So
yeah.
I'm glad they got it straightened out.
That's good. I am too. So, yeah. But where exactly are you located?
982 Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call this morning at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. You can also call Dan here. Or text Dan if you have any kind of a car or truck issue, van issue, 651-989-9226, text 81807. Keep in mind, Dan will be here for about another 15 minutes or so. So don't wait if you do have a question. Text came in early this morning, Dan. Newer cars with, I've wondered about this too, with running lights. When the turn signal is turned on, why does the running light next to it turned off.
Yeah, I don't know why it does that.
Visibility, maybe?
Yeah, it must be a visibility safety-related thing, but I've noticed that on the Jeeps do that, and the
I've
Audis
noticed
do
on,
that.
Again, the higher-end cars, right. But now a lot of other cars are doing the same thing. Yeah,
I think it's just probably that if you turn off the other light and... You know, with technology or with computer technology, it's so easy to program all that stuff in and have all that do that. Without computers, that's a wiring nightmare.
I bet so, it is.
But nowadays, it's easy to do that. And I suppose if they turn off the running light and turn the turn signal on, it just makes it way more visible if the running light is not outlining the turn signal light.
Yeah. It would be nice if some Minnesota drivers would actually use turn signals.
Well, and look at how we're talking about it. So it works, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
It catches your eye, and it's like, well, that looks different.
Yeah. All right, let's grab Scott, who's calling from Buffalo. Scott, you're on CCO with Dan.
Hey, Dan. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
So my 2011 Kia... yesterday, the lights, the taillights on the back would not shut off. It's not the whole taillight, just the center of them on both sides. I started the car, I stopped the car, I put it in gear, reverse everything, turned all my knobs. I had some other odd things yesterday. I turned on my blinker, my cruise control would shut off. So just some weird things going on. The only way to get those lights to shut off was disconnecting the battery.
Yeah. You know, you just said cruise control, which and turn signals and that stuff. One place that stuff is all related is in the multifunction switch, which is your turn signal switch. I believe the headlights are right there too, aren't they, as part of that switch?
They are, yep.
Yeah. So, and that's actually a pretty common fail item. And believe it or not, not all that complicated to replace it. Looks ominous to get at because of all that plastic around it, but if you know with three or four or five screws, you can get that plastic out of the way, and then oftentimes it's just one or two screws that hold that multifunction switch in, and you simply unplug it and replace it. And that would certainly be where I would start diagnosing it, is at that multifunction switch. And one thing that you could do, if you can get at it easily, is just unplug it. If you unplug that multifunction switch and all of the lights go off, then I think you can feel pretty confident that the problem's in that switch.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Scott, for the call. Dan, when we come back, let's talk about trying to find a used vehicle for that college student.
Oh, that sounds great. I'm in that mode.
Are you in the market?
Yeah,
all right. You'll have to tell us about that.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on, Dan Burns. We'll have another about 12, 15 minutes with Car Care here on CCO. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering your questions. All right. I don't want to forget about our texters either, Dan, so let's get back to more of them. Oh, we're getting more as we even speak here. All right. Let's see where I left off. Here's one. We'll be traveling from Connecticut to Minnesota, 2002 Grand Prix. ABS light came on and off. Second time stayed on. Also, traction light for that trip to store. Has not happened again. One tire was 12 pounds low. Not sure if that was corrected before or after the lights. Please advise. I don't know if that helps you or not.
With regards to the trip, I think no matter what, regarding the ABS, it's especially this time of year, it would be safe if the light's not on now and nobody's able to diagnose it. And, you know, if you're in the middle of your trip and the ABS light comes on, you don't have to be concerned because the hydraulic portion of the brake system will still work fine. It's just the anti-lock portion that will be disabled, and they do that for safety reasons. They don't want it engaging when it's not supposed to. So when they get a trouble code relating to the brakes, they turn off the ABS system. And so that's what they've done, is turn on the light, turn off, disable the system, so that you can safely drive it. So I would not be concerned for your trip. I think it'll be just fine.
Okay, very good. Let's see. 2003 old Silhouette was leaking coolant, added some coolant, and leaking stopped. But temperature varies greatly when running. Thermostat or water pump or both, do you think?
Yeah, I think it might still be low on coolant.
Uh-huh.
Cars are really tricky. You know, when we do a cooling system flush or replace a component and the cooling system gets empty, They're really difficult to get full again. You have to run them up to temperature and let them cool down and then, you know, use special funnels. And there's a whole bunch of tricks that we use. But if the temperature is varying greatly, I think more than likely it's still low on coolant. So I would check that.
All right. Now let's get back to the topic of the day we're finally getting around to. You said you're in the market to help one of your grandkids, right?
Yeah, two of my grandkids, two actually. Hallie and Dylan. Dylan, my 16-year-old grandson, just got his driver's license.
Uh-huh.
So he's in the market for a car. And Hallie, my oldest granddaughter, is just finishing college, and she needs a summer car. So, and I thought, well, there we go. I'm in that world, and I think a whole bunch of us are in that world.
Yeah.
So how do you find a car? And once you find a car, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, how do you know what?
Talk us through that.
Well, find a car is you know, they, of course, the kids have been searching all through the internet and Craigslist and all that sort of stuff. So they have a couple that they've zeroed in on. And everybody in my family knows the rule is you don't buy a car until Papa, Dad gets a chance to look at it. So that's what we do. We find a car that we're interested in that seems like it'll meet our budget and our needs, and then we bring it into the shop and take a look at it and see what we're getting and what we need to do to deal with to get through the summer. And of course, Hallie's goal is to use it for the summer and get most of her money back at the end of the summer, because when she goes back to college, she can't take it. The parking is too expensive.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. So.
But for whether you're looking for your kids or grandkids or yourself,
right,
still a good idea to ask the owner, the current owner, if you can get it checked out.
You
right?
absolutely have to have a used car inspected.
You guys do that all the time.
We do it every day, yeah. You just have to have it inspected by a professional so that you know what you're getting, you know that it's safe, and you need to be sure that you're not buying a problem. You know, you spend a couple $1,000 on a vehicle, well, if it needs $3,000 worth of work, you didn't do so well on it.
Yeah, so I should say.
You need to know that it's going to be a good car for you.
Dan will be here for about another 6-7 minutes if you want to call in. Otherwise, we'll talk some text. That text number 81807. Here's one. What causes a steering wheel to shake at speeds from 60 to 70 miles an hour?
Well, most commonly, it's a tire. People always drop the vehicle off in the you know, at the shop and say, I need an alignment on my car. My steering wheel is shaking. And I'll just tell you that alignment will rarely cause a vehicle to shake. More often when the steering wheel shakes at a certain speed, it's that the tire is way out of balance or the tire has lost its shape, meaning that the tire is starting to come apart. Or with all the potholes that we had this winter, perhaps the rim itself has gotten bent. And that causes a shake, but rarely is it alignment. Most likely, it's a tire or a wheel.
So that would be the first thing you guys.
That's for sure. And it's easy for us. We take the tires off and put them on our spin balance machine, and you can immediately see which tire is causing the trouble.
All right, here's another text. On our 2003 Toyota RAV4, when coming to a stop, the ABS activates. How do we find out what's causing that?
You'll probably have to bring that in and have me find that for you. What we do is we hook up our computer equipment to it, to the ABS system, and see which one of the, at that very slow speed, which one of the wheels is getting a false signal or losing a signal. Commonly it's the sensor itself, or it's the reluctor wheel that has cracked, or but something's not reading correctly when it's slowing down like that. And it won't set a code because the system thinks it's working correctly. It thinks one of the wheels isn't turning the right speed, and that's why it's applying the ABS, but one of them is sending false information.
I'm trying to think back this hour, Dan, when we had a caller, and I'll tell you why. I'm wondering which is referencing the problem. Because texters, we always get help from the listener.
Yeah, I appreciate
right?
that.
Yeah. And this texter just said this. Try replacing the battery in the key fob. And I'm trying to think what problem
That's good. That's actually 1001. That's a great place to start. We were talking about somebody who's having trouble starting the car.
After storage? Is that the one?
After storage.
Okay.
And their one key worked and the other key did not work. So that's actually a great idea. And I'm sorry I skipped the first step is, yes, put new batteries in the key fob and see if that takes care of it. That's a great answer.
And maybe some listeners who didn't mention, I tried this the other day, as a matter of fact. I should have done it more often. But you recommended don't just use the fob forever. You know, use that key to kind of exercise the door locks.
Right. I have another tip that as long as we're on the the topic of if you get in your car, if you've neglected changing the battery in your key fob for far too long and the car will not start, if you look in your owner's manual, there's a way to start the car with a dead key fob.
There is.
In other words, if you hold the key fob in the right spot on the dash, right near the push switch or somewhere, it'll tell you where to hold it.
Huh.
The car will actually read the key fob even if the battery's dead.
I had no idea.
So, yeah. So if ever you get stuck, there's a trick that you can
very interesting.
Get the car going.
2003 Mountaineer timing chain is out. 200,000 miles on it. Should I junk it?
Well, that's getting there.
Yeah.
That's a big, big job.
16-year-old car.
Yeah, it's a big, big job, and, you know, that's hard to assess. The rule of thumb that I use for whether somebody should fix their car or not, and, of course, I'm in the business of encouraging people to fix their cars, but, you know, if the car is going to have a $3,000 or $4,000 repair bill, which surprisingly is not uncommon anymore, what I say is, well, if you could buy that car all fixed up for $3,000 or $4,000, would you do that? And in most cases, people would buy the car if it was all fixed up. So that would be my answer. Look at the rest of the car. If the tires are good and the brakes are good and the body's good and the suspension's good, then spending that kind of money on it is probably does make sense if you're going to have a good engine at the end of the deal.
Texter wants to know roughly how much does it cost to get a used car checked out before buying it?
I don't know what I bet we charge about $70 or $80.
Something like that, I think. Yeah, yeah. It's not the end of the world, and it's worth.
Oh, well worth it. We always give you a list of negotiable items, repairs, that it will need that you'll get your money back from the seller. So,
what exactly, I know our time is limited here, but what exactly is what do you guys look at? What do you check out when?
We have a big long list that we
A whole long list.
Yeah, all the safety stuff, the expensive repair stuff. We look for leaks and drips and loose components, tires, brakes, all that sort of stuff.
All right. All right, how do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's again?
Well, the best way is come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, right in the heart of Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call this morning, 651-228-1316.
Now, you're open today for a while?
We are open today till noon. Yeah.
Till noon. All right. Who's on duty there now?
I think Jim's in charge today.
All right, Jim is. All right, very good. Dan, we'll see you 1 week from today.
Sounds good.
Good hunting for that used vehicles now.
Thank you.
All right. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.